We are reading from Canto 3, chapter 16, verse 21. Yes. Yastam vihita charitair anuvartamanam.
Yastam vihita charitair anuvartamanam.
Natya riyat paramabhagavata prasangaha. Translation. O Lord, you are exceedingly attached to the activities of your pure devotees, yet you are never attached to the goddesses of fortune who constantly engage in your transcendental loving service. How can you be purified, therefore, by the dust of the path traversed by the brahmanas? And how can you be glorified or made fortunate by the marks of Shrivatsa on your chest? Purport. He said in the Brahma Samhita that the Lord is always served by many hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune in his Vaikuntha planet. Yet, because of his attitude of renunciation of all opulences, he is not attached to any one of them. The Lord has six opulences: unlimited wealth, unlimited fame, unlimited strength, unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, and unlimited renunciation. All the demigods and other living entities worship Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, just to get her favor. Yet the Lord is never attached to her, because he can create an unlimited number of such goddesses for his transcendental service. The goddess of fortune Lakshmi is sometimes envious of the tulsi leaves, which are placed at the lotus feet of the Lord, for they remain fixed there and do not move, whereas Lakshmiji, although stationed by the chest of the Lord, sometimes has to please other devotees who pray for her favor. Lakshmiji sometimes has to go to satisfy her numerous devotees, but tulsi leaves never forsake their position, and the Lord therefore appreciates the service of the tulsi more than the service of Lakshmi. When the Lord says, therefore, that it is due to the causeless mercy of the brahmanas that Lakshmiji does not leave him, we can understand that Lakshmiji is attracted by the opulence of the Lord and not by the brahmanas' benedictions upon him. The Lord is not dependent on anyone's mercy for his opulence. He is always self-sufficient. The Lord's statement that his opulence is due to the benediction of the brahmanas and vaishnavas is only to teach others that they should offer respect to the brahmanas and vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord. Mukam karati vachalam kangam langhate girim yakipantamam bande sivam tiltaryam avagyana tivrandasya gananjara shalakaya chakshumini changyena tasana shri gurave namaha. So this verse is an answer to something which the four Kumaras said in verse 7. I don't know if you all remember, that was a few days ago. Now we're on verse 21, so 21 minus 7 is about 2 weeks ago. So this verse said that, this is by the Lord himself. Now the Kumaras are answering what the Lord said. Yes. In this verse 21, the Kumaras are counteracting something that the Lord said. The Lord said in verse 7, because I'm the servitor of my devotees, my lotus feet have become so sacred that they immediately wipe out all sin. And so this is the transcendental nature of love between the Lord and his devotees. That the Lord, he gives all credit to his devotees, and the devotees give all credit to the Lord. We can do anything because of your mercy. And the Lord is saying, because I serve my devotees, my lotus feet can wipe out all sins. He says, I'm getting purified by serving my devotees. This is what Krishna wants to do. He wants to serve his devotees. So that's why it's good to be servant of the servant. Because if we serve Krishna's devotees, we're helping Krishna out in his service. That's what he wants to do. That's all he wants to do, actually, is serve his devotees. So the verse 7 continues, because, again, my lotus feet have become so sacred because I serve my devotees, I have acquired such a disposition the goddess of fortune does not leave me. So another he's giving credit to the devotees that Lakshmi doesn't leave him because he serves them and he gets their qualities. He said, she doesn't leave me even though I have no attachment for her, and others praise her beauty and observe sacred vows to secure from her even a slight favor. So the relationship between the Lord and his devotee is transcendentally beautiful, Prabhupada says. The devotee thinks, oh, it's due to being a devotee, I'm elevated in good qualities. And the Lord thinks, oh no, it's because I'm a devotee of my servant that my glories have increased. So it's a competition here. Who can serve more? Who can serve more? The Lord can serve his devotee more, or the devotee can serve the Lord more. So Prabhupada says, as the devotee is always anxious to render service to the Lord, so the Lord is always anxious to render service to the devotee. There is a competition. And the Lord admits herein, although he certainly has the quality, anyone who gets a slight particle of the dust of his lotus feet becomes at once a great personality. This greatness is due to his affection for his devotees. And so our movement is a movement of love. Our goal is to develop love for Krishna. And we're getting an insight here into this love. What kind of love is there between Krishna and his devotees? That they are both eager to serve each other. Srila Prabhupada was such a devotee. He glorified Krishna so much that now almost everyone has heard Krishna's name. They may not know who is Krishna, but they certainly have heard his name. But Prabhupada never took any credit for himself. He always gave credit to his spiritual master, to Krishna. So there is this competition. Now after Srila Prabhupada has left, we are trying to glorify Srila Prabhupada a lot, so that everyone will know his name. Now last year and this year, again, the 50th anniversary, and before it was Prabhupada's 100th anniversary of his birth. So, but Krishna, who's going to win this competition between Krishna and the devotees? Who is going to win? Who is going to serve more? Krishna is going to win the competition and serve more, or the devotees are going to win the competition? Prabhupada has said that Krishna has 10 hands. If he wants to give you with his 10 hands, what can you accept with your 2 hands? And Krishna has 10 hands. If he wants to take something away from you, what can you protect with your 2 hands? And so it seems like Krishna is going to be the winner. But actually, some devotees defeated Krishna. They won the competition. They couldn't compete with Krishna. Which devotees were those? Yeah, Vrajabasis, the gopis. He said, I cannot repay you. And that's why he came as Lord Chaitanya, to try to repay the debt of the gopis. But they had so much love for him. They left everything. Krishna didn't have to leave anything. He was quite okay. We see this in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, that when Lord Chaitanya was revealing himself, for a while that nobody knew he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then one day he revealed himself to everyone. And he was recalling different things that he did for his devotees. Shivas one time was in trouble with the Muslims. His family was trying to go by boat in the night to escape the Muslim attack. And there was no boatman. It was the middle of the night. And all of a sudden, the boatman came and saved them. He said, I was that boatman. I came and saved you. So this is the love of Krishna for his devotees. The incarnation of Yashoda Sachimata, she was cooking for Lord Chaitanya. And one time, he came and ate it, and nothing was left. And she went back to the kitchen and looked, oh, did I cook? And she saw there were still things in the pot. Or she thought, oh, okay, well, I better offer again, maybe. Or maybe I should cook again. So he told her, no, that day I came and ate everything you cooked. So this is a transcendental love of Krishna and his devotees. Another time, Lord Chaitanya was concerned because Shivas had a huge family, many brothers, many nieces, nephews, children. But he wasn't working. He wasn't doing anything to maintain his family. And so Lord Chaitanya said, you know, I see you have a big family, but you're not doing anything. So how do you maintain yourself? And Shivas answered, Chaitanya, what do you mean? He said, well, every day, whatever I need, it comes by the will of the Lord, whatever I need. And if for 3 days I don't have any food and I have to fast, then I will clap my hands, I will go put a stone around my neck and jump in the Ganga and drown. So Lord Chaitanya said, no, this will not happen. He said, Lakshmi may go hungry, but you will never go hungry. So this is, Lakshmi is being mentioned in this verse, how he's more attached to his devotees than he is to Lakshmi. He's more attached to us, actually, because here we're struggling in this material world. We're trying to serve him, and it's not easy. It's not easy for Lakshmi. It's not a problem. She just can stay, you know, in Vaikuntha and serve. Of course, her problem is that she has a lot of devotees, so she has to leave sometime to satisfy them. That's why she's envious of Tulsi. Now, in the last chapter of this canto, it was a description of Vaikuntha planets and Tulsi's special position. We don't have any Tulsi. Yes, there is Tulsi. Good. Yes, we want to glorify Tulsi today, because Srila Prabhupada is glorifying Tulsi and the verse also, Kumaris. Kumaris, no, Prabhupada is glorifying. It's not in the verse. So Prabhupada said sometimes she's envious of Tulsi. Now, there's many flowers in Vaikuntha. We have never heard of them. I'm reading all these flowers. Bakula, Parija, Lily, these we know, and all the rest we don't know. Champak, and the rest are Sanskrit flowers. So all of them are full of transcendental fragrance, but they are still conscious by the austerities performed by Tulsi. For Tulsi is given special preference by the Lord, who garlands himself with Tulsi leaves. So Prabhupada said, made one point, that the most important thing about the spiritual world is there is no envy. Nobody envies each other. This is true even among the flowers. They're not envious of Tulsi, that she's got a special position. And so this is the Vorkumaras, they were entering Vaikuntha, they were noticing these things. And even the birds, the flowers, are conscious of service to Krishna. And this is the qualification of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. The first verse of second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam explains that this Bhagavatam takes out all cheating religions, and it's understandable by the pure-hearted devotees. Nirmat, Saranam, Satam, those who are pure, they can understand, they can hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is the qualification to go back to Godhead, because nobody is envious there. However, there is transcendental envy. Srila Prabhupada, when he was here, he was making competition between the book distributors. And so he was encouraging, because there was a competition in America between Los Angeles and Rameshwar, and Tamal Krishna and his traveling Damodar party, Radha Damodar party. So one time they were defeated, Radha Damodar was defeated by Los Angeles in book distribution for the marathon. And the news came to Prabhupada, and Tamal was there, and Prabhupada said, oh, now Tamal will have a heart attack, because he didn't win the competition. So he was encouraging that kind of competition, even amongst devotees. And the gopis, they were also expressing, it seems like they were expressing envy when Krishna showed his renunciation of them, and he went to Mathura. And they were saying, now all the women of Mathura are going to enjoy, and we're just left here. Of course, these are city women. They are very sophisticated. Krishna will like them more than us simple village women. But actually, they weren't really envious, because they knew that Krishna, he won't be so happy with these women as he will be with us. Only the gopis can satisfy him the most. So they were thinking of Krishna. When Krishna was in Dwaraka, he had 16,108 wives. And he would go to sleep at night, and when he would sleep, he would call out, Yashoda, Radha, Chandali. And then the wives would be, oh my God, again. He doesn't care about us. So it's true, he doesn't care about his Lakshmis. But he cares for his other pure devotees, and even new devotees like us. He cares for more than he does for Lakshmi. If we actually try to engage ourselves in devotional service. So Krishna likes to serve devotees, and that's why it's better to be servant of the servant than it is to serve Krishna directly. When Krishna appeared, so in Briha Bhagavatamrita, it's talking about Prahlad Maharaj, how he got special mercy of the Lord. Narada Muni is describing the greatness of Prahlad in front of him. And he's telling Prahlad, when Lord Krishna appeared on the shore of the ocean, he placed you on his lap and caressed you like a mother. He honored you, ignoring Brahma, Shiva, and other demigods offering prayers, even ignored goddess Padma. So we know when Lord Nrisingadev appeared, the demigods tried to pacify him. He was very, very angry. Nobody could pacify him. Even Lakshmi was afraid. And Prabhupada told in his lecture, why was Lakshmi afraid? Because she never saw her husband so angry like this before, and she thought, maybe it's not my husband. So she's very chaste. So she was afraid, oh, I better not go there. I'm not sure about him. So all the demigods, they could not pacify. He was so furious. Lakshmi, Garuda, all the Lord's personal servants, Brahma, demigods, were standing at a distance. They were afraid. Too afraid to come near him. So Brahma pushed Prahlad in front. So, okay, it's because of you he's angry. So you go. You pacify him. And so Hari Bhakti Sudodaya describes the Lord's reaction when Prahlad came in front of him. The Lord, who is friendly only to his devotees, sat down on the ground and put Prahlad on his lap. Gently rocking back and forth, he patted Prahlad with his lotus hand and embraced him repeatedly as a mother embraces her child. Thus the Supreme Lord attended to Prahlad, disregarding the many other exalted persons present. So that I would like to also share with you some of the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, which show the same thing that this verse is showing here. In 7.9.26, he prays to Lord Nrisingadev, O Lord, I was born in a family full of hellish material qualities, passion and ignorance. What is my position? And what is to be said of your causeless mercy? It was never given to Brahma, to Shiva, or Lakshmi. You never put your lotus hand on their heads, but you have put it upon mine. And so he was appreciating that he got very special mercy from the Lord, that he never put his hand, he never took them on, on his lap like he did Prahlad Maharaj. He never gave that mercy to Brahma, Shiva, or Lakshmi. So how can someone born in a demonic family get more mercy than Lakshmi? Well, if we surrender, then we can do it. We can get it. If we surrender to Krishna, accept whatever happens as his mercy, don't give up, keep on going in our devotional service, then we will get the mercy. And this mercy is causeless. Causeless mercy. What is the meaning of causeless mercy? It means there is no reason for it. We get mercy for no reason. We don't deserve it, but we get mercy. So when the mercy comes, we should be grateful. Oh yes, this is the Lord's mercy. So Prabhupada said that Lakshmi, she didn't, I mean, not Prabhupada, but Nrisingadev also, he saw, wow, I got more mercy than Lakshmi. But he wasn't proud, he wasn't thinking how great he is. And we'll see that in a few minutes with some other verses he said. Now Lakshmi, we stay in Vrindavan. So Lakshmi, now right now, they're having a festival for Lakshmi. She lives in Srivan, or Bilava. And it's across the Jamuna River, on the other side. So my massage lady was telling me, yes, I'm going for this festival. It's for a whole month right now, it's going on in Vrindavan. So what they do is they bring khichdi for her to eat, because she's been doing austerity since the beginning of time almost, because she wants to go on the other side and join the rasa dance. But so far, she hasn't been successful. So normally we see Lakshmi like this, standing, giving benediction to everyone, but not in this temple, she's like this. Begging the mercy of the Brijbasis that she can also enter Vrindavan Dham. And they're bringing her khichdi, because she's doing austerities. She's eating khichdi every day, just waiting for the mercy of Krishna, waiting. And she knows also, if I please the devotees, then maybe I'll get a chance to also join the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. But so far, not. So even Lakshmi doesn't have the mercy of the, even of the new devotees, like Prahlad, like ourselves, we can get more mercy if we surrender to Krishna. So another verse of Prahlad Maharaj, he says, now this explains how you get the mercy, who is qualified. Unlike an ordinary living entity, my Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, favorable and unfavorable, because for you there is no conception of higher and lower. Nonetheless, you offer your benedictions according to the level of one's service, exactly as a desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desires and makes no distinction between the lower and the higher. So what does this mean? What determines how much mercy we get is the attitude we have doing our service to Krishna. Everything depends on attitude. Everything depends on our attitude. According to Nectar of Instruction, Sri Rupa Goswami, everything depends upon our attitude. So Krishna notices what is our attitude. If we are begging for service, Sivana Rupa. So this is the secret. It is in proportion to our service. Why is it in proportion to our service? Because according to our service, it's our attitude. If we have a service attitude, as I was describing in the seminar, Prabhupada said, service attitude is our swarup. This is our eternal position. This is our eternal form. You want to know what your swarup is, then it's service attitude. The more service attitude you have, the more your swarup is revealed. This is what was revealed when we were discussing the prayers of Brahma. And Brahma and the Lord said, if you worship me, one day you will see your swarup. And Prabhupada said, what is that swarup? It's the service attitude. We have the service attitude, then we will see Krishna more and we will get more mercy. Because the mercy is flowing to everyone, just like the sun is shining on everyone's house. Everyone's getting sunshine but you have to open your windows and open your door and go out in the sunshine to get it. There's some endeavor on your part. You do have to do something. So the mercy is equally distributed to everyone. But according to how receptive we are to the mercy, we get more mercy. So how do we become receptive? That is answered by Lord Chaitanya himself. Chanadapi sunijina tarariva sahishina amanina manadena kitinaya stahari. Humility, giving respect to others, not expecting any respect for yourself, and tolerance. So this is the secret this is a service attitude. And if you have this attitude, then you will like to be servant of the servant. And another verse from Prahlad, and this is a famous verse, so I'll sing the Sanskrit. Evam janani patitam prabhavahi kupe kamabhikam marya papatam prasangat kritvatma satsa shina bhagavan vihita soham katam na vishisheta bhagavisevam. My dear Lord, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Arna Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How can I leave his service? So here, Prahlad, and if you go through Bhagavatam, whenever the Lord asks somebody, what do you want? They say, I want to be servant of the servant. So there must be something in that that's very special, if that's what Prahlad wants. So here, Prahlad was face to face with the Lord, Nrisimhadev. And he didn't say, oh, what can I do for you, my Lord? He said, no. What can I do for Narada Muni? What can I do for your servant? How can I serve your servant? That was what he was asking. He said, before I was in a blind well full of snakes. The snakes are our senses. They bite us. And the blind well is this material world, this material body. So many material things that we've fallen into. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we can break the fangs of the serpent like snakes. And no more fearful. So servant of the servant. There is a prayer from one of the acharyas. My dear Vaishnava Thakur, kindly accept me as your dog. dog. Want to be a dog of the Vaishnava. Just like a dog, he does everything very obediently. So Prabhupada said, we have to learn a lesson from the dog, how to be faithful to the master. He's the lowest, the dog is the lowest, but we can learn a lesson from him. And he's very, very faithful. So why is it better to be servant of the servant than to serve Krishna directly? Because one reason is devotee is more merciful than Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is more merciful than Krishna. He is giving us so many concessions in this age of Kali. 64 rounds is the actual criteria for going back to Godhead, but Prabhupada gave us 60. So merciful, because he saw, you know, that we cannot manage. In his eyes, 16 are equal to 64. So that's one of his concessions to us. So many concessions he gave to us so that we can go back to Godhead. Humility. It's better to be servant of the servant because then you develop the quality of tolerance, humility. This is very helpful for spiritual life. It opens the door. I think I've heard from Bharijan Prabhu that when the tree of bhakti, the roots of the tree of bhakti are humility. So in our heart we have this tree of bhakti. And as the roots go deeper, the tree goes taller. So the deeper our humility, then the taller our bhakti. Another reason why it's better to be servant of the servant is because we have our parampara. And there's so many devotees there. So that means if you serve your guru, you're going to get the mercy of Prabhupada, you're going to get the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, you're going to get so much mercy. Everyone is going to give you mercy. So that's the more servant you are, the more mercy you get. That's how it is. And that's why it's good in the spiritual realm. It's like that too. You'll be servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And you'll get so many, everyone, so many people can help you. They can give you mercy. Another reason is Krishna is pleased when you serve the devotee. Then you make Krishna happy because you're helping him. That's Krishna's service. Krishna wants to serve his devotees and make them happy. So when you serve the devotee, then Krishna is happy. Another reason is that in Bhagavatam, in the second canto, Nashta Praesha Padreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. That Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, this verse is also, the word Bhagavata is there, the devotees. So at the beginning of Bhagavatam, in the first canto, second chapter, it says, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And if you do Nityam, if you always serve the Bhagavata, now there's two, the book and the devotee, two kinds of Bhagavatas. So both of them you need to serve. If you do that, then Nashta Prayesha Padreshu, that almost everything that is dirty in your heart becomes destroyed. Almost everything. What is that almost everything? Passion and ignorance. And you come to goodness. And when you come to goodness, then Nashta Prayesha Padreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavad Yutama Sukhim Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. You come to Nishta. When you serve the Bhagavad. So Prabhupada in the Purport, he says, here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious things in the heart. Serve the Bhagavata, service of the Bhagavatas, the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. And Krishna says, even I get purified when I, here it's Narayan, even I get purified by serving the Bhagavatas, so therefore we should also serve the Bhagavatas. He says, because I serve my devotees and that my lotus sweet feet are so pure, they can purify everyone. We just heard that from verse 7. So one time, one of my friends in Vrindavan, she left her body. Her name was Nanda. And she came to Vrindavan to die. But she didn't die. It took her 20 years. And she was in the bed for 20, basically in the bed for 20 years. She had MS, multiple sclerosis. A few times she could get up and go out in the wheelchair, but basically she was in the bed. And she couldn't do, sometimes she couldn't chant her rounds. She was always listening, always trying to chant, trying to do her best. So then, just before she left her body, she had a vision of Srila Prabhupada And she was walking with Srila Prabhupada on the path back to Godhead. Walking on the path. On both sides were people criticizing her, saying she's not qualified, she's a woman, she didn't do her sadhana properly, she was sick. So many criticisms. So Prabhupada in her dream turned around to the people and said, "It's all right, she's with me." So we got some hope here. Just stay with Prabhupada. And he'll take care. He'll make up for what you lack. At least come to the mode of goodness. At least come to nishtha. He has said that 75%, that's what this means, nashta praisha badrishu. How much free do we have to be to become more qualified? And Prabhupada has said 75%. And in some lectures he has said 50%, 60%. But at least 75%. What does that mean? Passion and ignorance. Live in the mode of goodness. Be in the mode of goodness. And that will help you to come to the level of nishtha, or steadiness, firm faith in Krishna. Steadiness in devotional service. So I'd like to share one more prayer of Kala Maharaj. And that is verse 29 from Canto 7, Chapter 9. My Lord, you have killed my father Hiranyakashipu and saved me from his sword. He had said very angrily, "If there is any supreme controller other than me, let him save you. I'll now sever your head from your body." Therefore, I think, both in saving me and in killing him, you have acted just to prove true the words of your devotee. There is no other cause. So, two ways the Lord kept the words of his devotee true. The first way, Prahlad said, in saving me, in killing Hiranyakashipu, that's the easier one, killing Hiranyakashipu, whose words did the Lord prove true? And that was Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma made so many promises, you will not die in the land, in the air, in the water. He died on the lap. He wasn't on the earth, he wasn't in the air, and he wasn't in the water. So all of his benedictions, and not by any weapon, it was nails, not by any man, animal, or demigod, was half man, half lion. So the Lord is smarter than anybody. So in killing Hiranyakashipu, he proved true the words of Lord Brahma. And in saving Prahlad, he proved true the words of another devotee. We said Prahlad cannot be killed. It will be okay. Which devotee was that? That was Narada Muni, who told the demigods, "You cannot kill this child." He told his mother, "Don't worry, nobody can kill Prahlad Maharaj." And then he also gave a promise, I will personally never kill any descendants of Prahlad Maharaj. So that was, he fulfilled the words of Narada Muni. So when Prahlad's mother was with Narada, she prayed for protection of Prahlad. And so the Lord did fulfill the words of Narada Muni. So Prabhupada said something very interesting about this, how the Lord proves true the words of the devotee, that even if the devotee says something wrong, Krishna has to uphold it. He has to figure out a way to uphold the devotee's words. Because who's in charge? Who's in control? Krishna or the devotee? The devotee. Devotees. Because when you develop love of God, you control Krishna. So if a devotee has pure love, then he owns Krishna. Because he's purchased Krishna. Krishna belongs to him. So even if a devotee says something wrong, then the Lord has to uphold his words. Krishna has to fulfill it. So Prabhupada said, even if the servant of Krishna says, even if Krishna says, "I'll take you back to Godhead," it may not happen. But if the servant says, "I'll take you to Krishna Loka," you must go there. Then Krishna cannot do that. He doesn't say very easily. And he may say, but he doesn't very easily say that, "I'll take you." But if the pure devotee says that, then we must go. So there is one story, which I told a few years ago, maybe you can remember it, about Srila Prabhupada and one man. His name was Mr. Sethi. He was in Juhu, Bombay. We had a lot of trouble in Juhu because of the dacoits, but also when we first came to Juhu, it was very austere to live there. There was no place for us to live. We were living literally on the land. The men had a hut, the ladies were on the roof of a building in the summer, and there we were with all our belongings, just living in a mosquito net, and we had nothing. So this man, Mr. Sethi, he's into construction, so he built rooms for us on top of the flats in the back, which tenants were there. We didn't have money. You have to pay the cost of the flat to get the tenants out. It's not like here. If somebody's renting, then you have to pay them the cost of the flat if they're there more than 1 year. That's Indian law. They like own the flat pretty much once they're there. So we couldn't stay in the flats, and we were up on the roof. And then he built rooms for us on top of those flats. And one day he came to see Srila Prabhupada, covered with cement, covered with sand, covered with dirt. And Srila Prabhupada said to him, just as you are building rooms for my devotees here, Krishna is building your rooms in Goloka Vrindavan. So that is the benefit of serving the devotees, that Krishna is very pleased when you serve the servants. And the man, Mr. Sethi, said, but Swamiji, I'm so sinful, how can I go back to Godhead? Because he was still drinking tea. Very difficult to give up tea in India. So he never got initiated. But said, Swamiji, how can I do? And Prabhupada said, that I will see. You don't worry about that. I will see you go back to Godhead. He went. So he went. Yeah, one time he was dying of throat cancer. This man, he was in the hospital. All these tubes were there. Prabhupada came. Prabhupada said, take out the tubes. No, he took out the tubes. He didn't die. And he told him to chant Hare Krishna. So that was Prabhupada's mercy on him, that he lived and to tell the story. And he made him give prasad to the devotees, have home programs every Sunday in his house, and the devotees would have a feast, and then they would do Harinam before the home program. He would have him go out on Harinam with the devotees and give them a feast every Sunday. So that was his service to Prabhupada. Besides serving the devotees in the construction, and he also, when the dacoits came to attack, then they were threatening, then he sat there the whole night with his gun. They said 100 dacoits are going to come because they didn't want us to. The owner was fighting for the land, trying to take it away from Srila Prabhupada. So he sat there the whole night. He says, okay, I got a bullet for each one. So he was ready to fight and to protect the devotees as well. He was a very wonderful person. And he did leave his body and he went back to Godhead, of course. So therefore we should try to have this attitude, service attitude, that is our sarup, service attitude, and that will help us to please Krishna, to get more mercy from all the whole parampara, and to go back to Godhead at the end of life. So we'll stop here. If you have any questions or comments, you can ask at this point. Yes.
So you're saying in Vrindavan it's very difficult for Lakshmi or Shiva to enter.
Shiva is there on the boundary. He's the chakidar.
Yeah.
Lord Shiva is in Vrindavan. He made it because he took the form of a woman. And he's there as Gopishwar, Mahadev. He's in the form of a lady. Shiva made it. Lakshmi didn't make it. What is the hope for you? Yeah, you can pray to Lord Shiva. He's the chokidar. You can pray to him. Devotees pray to Lord Shiva. He protects the dham. He doesn't allow anybody to enter. You can also pray again. You have to please your guru. If the guru says you can go, then you can go. If the spiritual master says you can enter Vrindavan, then you can enter also. But entering Prabhupada, it's not buying a ticket. But it's not buying a ticket is not how to go to Vrindavan. It's purifying your heart, because Vrindavan's in your heart. It's not a geographical place. Although it is here on this earth, it is a place. But if you go there, what will you see? Now it's a lot of traffic. It was funny, we were hearing remembrances from Garga Muni, and Prabhupada was saying, oh, when he was in New York in 1966, oh, you will love Vrindavan, there is no whoosh whoosh of traffic everywhere. Well, we were laughing because there's a lot of traffic now, traffic jams. And very, yeah, anyway, you have to watch out for your life when you cross the street from the temple. So, literally, because they don't follow, you know, what side they're supposed to be on. They can come from any direction. Can come from any direction. So, you may think, oh, they're on this side, they will come this way. Oh, they can also come this way. Kind of like the waves in Australia, you know. You're looking in the front and they hit you from the back. But, yeah, I've experienced that in some beach. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, no. So anyway, you need permission to enter Vrindavan. You get the permission of your guru, of your Lord Shiva, then you can enter. Entering Vrindavan, you can read about how Akura entered Vrindavan, how he prepared himself. He gave up fear, lamentation, and attachment. He rolled in the dust. He offered obeisances when he first reached Vrindavan. This is the way to enter Vrindavan. You can read the prayers of Akura in Canto 10, Chapter 40. Prabhupada said this is how to enter Vrindavan. It's an attitude that you need to have. You can't go there with pride, with so these modes of passion and ignorance. If you go, then just go for 3 days. Prabhupada said, if you have some problems, if you have some passion and ignorance, better you don't stay too long, because you will get smashed quickly. Very quickly. Mayapur is more merciful. They don't take offense. Lord Chaitanya doesn't take offense. So Vrindavan, you be careful. What? Yes. Any other questions? Yes.
Sometimes if you have two or three services, and if you're doing one, sometimes you displease other devotees when you are not doing that service. So how do we understand, for example, that on one hand we have to serve the devotees to get their mercy, and on the other hand we are actually displeasing them?
So he's saying that sometimes you have two or three services and they conflict, is it? Sometimes they conflict. So you have different people telling you to do different services, is it like that? So you do one service and the other person is saying, why aren't you doing my service? And then you do their service and the other person says, why are you doing my service? You should be doing it that time. So what do you do in such a... So you're displeasing somebody and you're pleasing somebody and you're displeasing somebody else. So again, the attitude, please forgive me, but I need to do this. If you have the right attitude, then you can please both. But the wrong attitude is to say, can't you see I'm doing something here now? You know, I can't. That's the wrong. Can't you see I'm busy with this other service? So that's the wrong attitude. Right attitude, oh, Prabhu, I really would like to do your service immediately, but something has come up and please forgive me, and you just have to think. There's like emergency service, and then there's, of course, everyone thinks their service is emergency. But, And if it gets too hectic, just put your two people together who have the two different services and let them figure it out. Okay, Prabhu, you discuss. You want me to do this? You want me to do that? So you talk amongst each other and figure it out and let me know. what you want. Let me know what you decide. So I feel like I'm offending both of you because I can't do either one, so please tell me what is best for me. And then you can also go to Guru too. He can help you sort it out. He can sort it out. Any other questions? Yes. They're qualified, but they didn't get it. Because it's causeless. No qualification.
And we also see that there are four bona fide sampradayas, and each one is ahead of that. Lord Brahma.
Yeah.
And Lakshmi Devi herself.
Yeah.
Now, how do we understand that the sampradaya acharyas and also not being able to
get? That's an interesting question. How Lakshmi is ahead of a sampradaya, Brahma, Shiva, even the four Kumaras. So how is it they didn't get, you know, they're not getting as much mercy as we are? Well, one of the first thing that came to my mind is that the father wants to see the children more successful than he himself. So that's the mood of the acharyas, into the head of the acharyas. And being a mother, I can tell you that's how you feel. You want your son to be a better devotee than you are. So, and that was Prabhupada's. He wanted us to be supreme, really good devotees, better than him, get more mercy than he got. So that's how devotees feel, that let them have more mercy. So Brahma would be very happy to see, oh, Allah got more mercy than me. Wow. Now my life is successful. Because they're very selfless. They don't care about themselves. And they're very happy to see that their descendants. And that's the purpose of creation, that Lord Brahma's creation. Purpose is to help everyone go back to Godhead, to liberate. It's a preaching creation, actually. The purpose is to help everyone leave this world, become purified, go back to, become in the mode of goodness, go back to home, back to Godhead. Now, it's the whole purpose of having people in this world is so that they will get devotional service, they will get bhakti. So he's very happy, they're very happy. They say, yes, give more mercy to them. And that's what came in my mind, anyway. Yes? Not for what? For what? We don't know. In Chaitanya Charitamrita is quite open. There's a whole discussion between a South Indian Brahmin and Lord Chaitanya. He says, you're Lakshmi. Why is she doing austerities? Why does she want Krishna? She's not chaste. There is a discussion there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yes, in Gaudiya literature, yes. And that's why we need the purports of Prabhupada, that he's giving us the essence of everything. We can't really penetrate these verses with our limited intelligence. But he's explaining them for us. You start Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1, he's saying surrender to Krishna already. It doesn't come till the end, you know, in chapter 18. He's putting it in chapter 1 and chapter 2, you know, because we need to get the message. We don't understand. Yeah. It's not a statement, but it's because Bhagavatam is like Vedanta Sutra. It's like codes in a sense. It's sutra form also. Although it is an explanation of Vedanta Sutra, for us it might as well be a sutra. You know, it's really, there's a lot of things behind what is said, what is being said in the scriptures. So therefore we need to hear Srila Prabhupada's explanations and purports. And bring in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. We need to have the understanding of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that helps us to understand Bhagavatam. Any other questions? Yes.
What is the speciality of Tulsi leaf that four Kumaras they started sparing the Tulsi and changed their...
What is so special about Tulsi that they only smelled the leaves coming from Krishna's feet and they changed their consciousness? Yeah. Such a powerful, so powerful. Well, Tulsi is from Goloka Vrindavan. And so therefore she's very, very powerful servant of Krishna. And so powerful, the glories of Tulsi are there in many places, that if you just plant a Tulsi tree, for every leaf and branch, all your ancestors are delivered, thousands and thousands. All the holy pilgrimages are in one Tulsi leaf. All the holy places, all the sacred rivers, they're on one Tulsi leaf. So that's why when they smelled the Tulsi leaf, they got all the sacred rivers, all the holy places, all the deities are there in one Tulsi leaf. So that is the power. Tulsi is a desire tree. Did you know you have a desire tree over here in Australia? Tulsi Devi. Very powerful. You have some desire, you can pray to Tulsi Devi. You chant your rounds in front of Tulsi. It has a very powerful effect. Haridas Thakur used to do that. Chant in front of a Tulsi tree. You chant in front of the Tulsi tree, then you get all very much purified very quickly. And all your desires are fulfilled. So that's why when they smelled the Tulsi, it was all the holy places, all the rivers. And very, very dear to Krishna. Tulsi is Vrindadevi. So in Vrindavan, Vrindadevi is arranging the meetings of Radha and Krishna. And she's providing all the paraphernalia, she's providing all the ladies to sing and dance and play musical instruments and bring food, all the feasts. Everything is provided by Vrinda. The place, the paraphernalia, everything she gives. So she's very dear to Krishna. Any other questions? Yeah, Purnamasi is a little different because she's a Brahmani. So she helps, with her predictions. And she's also an energy of Krishna. She's an energy that actually does. Vrindadevi is another energy. They're different energies, so all the energies have different roles to play. Purnamasi also arranges, but in a different way. In a different way she arranges. It's more by speaking, by giving knowledge, because she's a Brahmani. Whereas Vrindadevi goes more into the physical management and the arrangements, like that. So they have different services in the spiritual world. Paramasi is the grandmother of everyone. And she's also Yogamaya. She's Yogamaya. So she makes Krishna forget sometimes things, so he can enjoy. Purnamasi can. She's more in the subtle level. Whereas Vrinda is more on the external. You can see what you can see, external level. Whereas Purnamasi is more in the subtle. You don't see what she's doing, but she's doing. Vrindadevi, you see what is she doing, and she has her parents that she sends as messengers around. To arrange things. Any other questions? Okay, Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.
Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Srila Prabhupada ki.